Lord is so much with us that we lose our focus and our center. Heal us. So where we have lost our ways and where we have compromised our integrity, God, restore us to be a better person before you every day. And heal us so that when we lose ourselves in all the negative emotions, God, lead us and heal us so that when we lose sight of whose we are, we may know once more that we belong to you. We are loved, embraced by you in Jesus Christ. In times of joy, may we rejoice. In times of sorrow and pain, may we find you and also find the people around us. Reach out to people and offer support and prayers. In times of conflict, may we be understanding. God, we pray that you guide us as we make our claims today, tomorrow, and more. May we become loving and caring voice and hands of yours to have more people, your children, God, in our prayer and support. Particularly, Lord, remember those of us who are shrinking because of the fear and anxiety, and bring us healing, reconciliation, and hope for the future. There are so many people among us, around us, and around the world who need you, need your touch. Be with us, and be with all the people who need you. Comfort us, and strengthen us, and guide us, so that we would be able to go forth and get restored. God, remember the people who are struggling and suffering from the virus, and remember the people who are fighting the virus to save many precious people. Give them your strength, safety, and protection. Particularly, we remember Alice Vetter, Beth Jacobs, Rebecca Thiemann, and their colleagues. And we also remember the people who have difficulties to have their meals on their table, and the people who lost their jobs. God, strengthen the people, each one of them. And remember us every day. Lord, we need you. Be with us and help us be with you. With all our hearts and mind, we pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Seated. And we have a hymn, Take Time to Be Holy, verse 1.
Holy, speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek.
Our first scripture reading today is from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you." Our second reading is also from Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 27. A dispute also arose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table, or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The mission of the church is to make The mission of the church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. This is the mission statement of the United Methodist Church. We've all heard it, seen it printed on numerous publications, and often displayed on church walls and murals. We see and hear it so often that it is easy to forget its true meaning and the impact it should have on our lives. The original meaning of discipleship was to be a follower, more specifically, a student. In our case, this means we are to be followers and students of Jesus Christ. So far, this seems to be pretty clear and easy to do. It's a very general statement. There's no difficult conditions or specific requirements or rules. Some of the people that know me know I really enjoy to read. One of my favorite authors on religion is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer was a Lutheran pastor and theologian from Germany. He lived and wrote in the time during and leading up to and during World War II. He dealt with the Nazi regime's takeover of the churches as well as their known atrocities. A great deal of his writings in this period dealt with the subject of discipleship. I've always found his writings inspiring and challenging. Here is a person in the middle of an unimaginable and terrifying period of history, wrestling with the concepts of faith, forgiveness, grace, and discipleship. He had multiple chances to escape Germany to England and the United States, but he chose to remain in his country and the church that he loved. His decision cost him his life prior to the end of the war in Europe. As inspiring and encouraging as his writings are, I always feel lacking after reading them. I feel my journey, my discipleship, is inadequate. How can anything I do or accomplish, compare or stand up to the high standard this man has set and ultimately died for. At some point, I came to the realization that our journey into his discipleship is a unique path. All our paths are different, and most of them change during the course of our lives. To be a disciple means to follow, learn, and hopefully emulate the teacher's actions, his teachings, and beliefs. Our teacher is Jesus Christ. I would like to look at discipleship from two viewpoints. First, as it's presented in the Bible, and secondly, how it appears in our lives today. In the first reading, the commissioning of the 70, Jesus sends 70 followers out in pairs to the places he intends to go in the future. There are specific instructions as to what to take or not to take, how to react to different situations. While some of the instructions are clear, the mission objective is not. The only mission-specific instruction is to greet the people they meet at their destination. In the original Greek, the word used is shalom. Shalom in Hebrew at that time had a far deeper meaning than hello or goodbye. It is a wish for well-being, prosperity, peace, harmony, and security. It sounds a lot like what we're looking for in our Christian life. The second reading, the argument over who is the greatest, presents a different aspect of discipleship. In the midst of the disciples' bicker over who would be remembered as the greatest, Jesus asked who is greater, the person eating at the banquet or the one serving. He asked them to remember that he is among them as one who serves. In the book of John, the story is told of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples prior to the Last Supper. In our time, that doesn't sound like a real big deal. In the first century, it took on a different meaning. This was a job relegated to the lowest of servants. Anybody with a passing knowledge of agriculture will realize in a society without cars and trucks, animals were quite common on the streets and paths. So the quaint dirt roads were not primarily dirt and probably smelled a little bit stronger. What Jesus does and asks the disciples and us is to live a life of service to all. That was then, this is now. We no longer have beasts of burden running in the street. We don't wash our guests' feet when they come to visit. Going to strangers' houses and wishing them peace, prosperity, and happiness may not get the favorable reaction we hope for. 2020 has been an interesting year so far. It's been a trying year. We are in the midst of a global pandemic that has sickened and killed many. The coronavirus has caused an economic downturn affecting millions worldwide. With this downturn, the issues of famine, disease, and poverty are accentuated. The weather has caused hardship through fire, wind, and heat. We are in the midst of a political season that defies any rational explanations, and violence tears at many of our cities. We feel overwhelmed at the things going on in our world, our town, and our own families. We need to realize, as terrifying and unsettling as these days are, they're not unique to us. Plagues and pandemics are not new. We endured and survived a flu epidemic in 1918. Plagues and diseases have occurred throughout our world history. Suffering through hunger and oppression has occurred from the beginning, and political foolishness has always been with us. I'm not trying to present a picture of gloom and doom. I just like to point out that the problems have always been there. The Jews, the early Christians, faced many of the same problems and disasters that we face today. They didn't have the opportunity to dwell on them with a 24-hour news cycle or cell phone videos, but I'm sure they spend as much time worrying about them as we do. What was written back then is just as relevant today as it was then. The problems are the same. How we perceive them has changed. If we look at Scripture and true discipleship, perhaps we can find a way to deal with what confronts us. We define ourselves as Christians. We believe, accept, and follow the words and teachings of Jesus Christ. That definition doesn't go quite far enough. If I believe I am a Christian and devote my entire life to learning and studying the words of Christ and church history and never share that knowledge with anyone, what does it mean anything? If I live a life of devotion and prayer but never interact with another person, have I done anything to extend the love of God? I believe that our definition of discipleship has to be far more than what we are, what we put our faith in, or how we define ourselves. I think what we need to do with these things is more important. Discipleship is classified as a noun. What if we make it a verb, a call to action? How do we do that? In the first reading, Jesus sent pairs of disciples out to unfamiliar places. By going in pairs, we have the concept of working together for a common goal. Going to unfamiliar places is an interaction with other people. One way to look at this is the start of Christian community. The 70 go out, working with others, to bring a message of hope and peace, with the hope of forming a group of like-minded followers. Christian community is and should be the backbone of our faith and discipleship. The connection cements our faith, hope, and beliefs. This is where the action comes in. This is a hard concept for some of us. It takes genuine work to be disciples of Christ in a community environment. To work well in a Christian community tests our ability at times. We have to be more accepting and tolerant of others, and often listen to and discuss ideas and viewpoints outside of our comfort zone. As painful as this might be at times, it does serve to solidify our beliefs, faith, and discipleship. Connectivity is essential to our relation with God. We connect in worship as a group. We sing, pray, and celebrate as a body united in Christ. Our Christian community depends on this connection. We gather strength from one another. Our connection as a group is visible strength as we interact with the outside world. Our individual discipleship grows in the concept of connection to a community of fellow Christians. Fellowship and education solidify and reinforce our beliefs and goals. Today, these ideas are challenged by the current pandemic. Our worship has changed. Our meetings and gatherings have been limited or canceled. When this whole thing started, the concept of social distancing and limited exposures to others became the norm. At first, I was excited. At 65 years old, I thought I found something I was really good at in social distancing. Instead of being a grumpy old guy, now I was being socially responsible. That faded really quickly as I realized how much I missed and needed those interactions with others. Our Saturday night Bible study and Thursday night studies became Zoom meetings. While everybody was still there and talking, it wasn't the same. It takes a lot more thought and effort. The personal contact was missing. In the second reading, we learn about service and humility. With today's conditions, this takes on new meaning. Our ideas of service to others have been formed by a long period of stability. We tend to think of opportunities to serve God as a list that we can choose from. We are conditioned to see the chance to serve a church either on a committee or as part of a team. We think of food pantries, homeless shelters. We look to mission trips to extend God's kingdom. Right now, most of those things have been put on hold. The need is still there, but pandemic protocol has altered our ability to do these things. This pandemic has affected everybody in very different ways. Some are working from home. Some have to work with the worry of infection or infecting other coworkers. Some are not working at all. A lot of us would like to visit with grandchildren and relatives, but realize that may not be in anybody's best interest. So many times in our faith journeys, we look for opportunities to do something, help someone, or serve in some manner. We try to find something that will make a big difference, a significant change. As I look back over my life, I realize the things that were most helpful and most meaningful to me were not earth-shattering or life-changing moments. What I remember are the little things, small acts of kindness, unsolicited words of encouragement, often from people that I didn't know. Perhaps we should focus on the little things that we can accomplish under these conditions. Small things start big results. Talked about two aspects of discipleship today. The first reading talks about following, learning, and emulating Christ through the concept of community in Christ. Community gathers us together in a common belief and faith. Individually, we are subject to the whims of society and our own imagination and perceptions. Collectively, we gain strength and moderation with our interactions with others. The second reading talks about service and humility. As a group, we have many common beliefs. These beliefs bind us in the fact that while we may have many different viewpoints, we are united in Christ and created in God's image. We have more in common than we like to admit. Our commonality and sameness unites us in the fact that in God's eye, we are all equal. No one is above or below service to others. This realization is fundamental to following, learning, and being more Christ-like. What I'd like you to take away from this is discipleship is what we do more than a definition of who we are. We're faced with some difficult times, but they are not as unique as we sometimes believe. Humanity and Christianity have faced some tough times and conditions and moved through them. We'll get through this one. Enjoy the opportunity to be in community with those that we know and also those we meet in our daily lives. Encourage and support them. Remember that the Christian story and gospel is too good not to share. While these things seem difficult or impossible right now, remember small actions and kind words of encouragement can cascade into greater things.
Let's ponder the meaning of becoming the disciples of Jesus Christ. He gave us very good resource and something to think about. It is not about who we, it is more about what we are doing as the disciples of Jesus Christ. And I thought about that when we have fear, when we are overwhelmed by fear, we have a tendency to shrink, protect ourselves. Yes, we need to do that. That's why we wear masks and social distance, so many things. We need to do that. But we find something Jesus did in a strange way. On the last night with his disciples, what he did with his disciples was very important and significant to our faith. He knew in 12 hours he's going to be arrested and tortured. In 24 hours he's going to get killed. But what he did was to share the bread and wine. And he said, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this. Take it." He didn't just enjoy your meal. He said he took it from his body and gave it to his disciples, one and one and one. If I were him, I was going to run away. I don't want to get arrested. I don't want to get tortured and killed. But what he did was totally the different way. He gave himself to the people. And he said, "This is my blood given for you. I'm ready to give myself to you. To you and you and you. So you become what I want you to be as the disciples of Jesus Christ." So today, as we take the bread and wine, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, we decide, "God, I'm ready." Sometimes I'm scared, frustrated, depressed. I just want to shrink. I just want to go in a room and lock the door. But now, with your hope, and with my faith, I will go forth as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and who joined worship online. God, and also bless these bread and wine so that they may become the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that we may be the bread of Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus Christ in this world by his blood. Make us one with Jesus Christ and give us power and strength and wisdom to be with you and to live our lives by your will. Amen. So please peel the first layer and take the bread. Oh, I forgot about this. Let's take it. And we have the juice. This is the body of Jesus, blood of Jesus Christ. Let's take it. Do you see my smile? Yes. It is just like that as I make my smile behind the mask. I make my smile when I see you and I'm happy. Not because, I love you. Not simply because I love you, but because I can see Jesus in you. And I can see God's hope in you and in our community. And I'm thankful. And we find, even in this pandemic era, God's work, God's presence in our lives, in our community, and we are so grateful. So with all the gratitude for God has done in our lives and our community, this time we present ourselves in one body and our time and resources before God.
Blessings flow, praise him all creatures here below, praise him above ye heavenly host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Almighty God, we are witnesses of your love and grace. Your power is a wonder to behold. For the healing in our lives, we thank you. For the power of your Spirit within us, we praise you. Receive these gifts as signs of our thanks and praise. Receive our very lives, for we are your beloved children, and you are our God. Amen. Our closing hymn is Jesu, Jesu, verses 1 and 2.
Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love, show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. Kneels at the feet of his friends, silently washes their feet, master who acts as a slave to them. Jesu, with your love, show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. Neighbors are rich and poor, neighbors are black and white, neighbors are near and far away. Jesus, us with your love, show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you.
Do you hear the sound? The wind? So during the worship, I keep checking my microphone. Is it my breathing sound? Something like that? But we don't find any trouble over the devices, and I thought, maybe the Bible says Holy Spirit comes like a wind. We can take that. How about that? And the Holy Spirit is sending you home and to the people around you and the people in our community and beyond. So let's take it. As the disciples of Jesus Christ, it is so good time, so good time, all the time we live our lives as the disciples of Jesus Christ. As you go into the world, into your family, neighborhood, and the community, the love of God, the Creator, and mercy of Jesus Christ, who gave us his life, and the power of the Holy Communion, Holy Spirit, go with you, every day strengthen you, guiding you, and be present with you today, tomorrow, and more. Amen.
In thy name, O Lord, I go, my daily labor to pursue. Thee, only thee, resolved to know. In all I think or speak,
with it.
Yep.
this will do it.